In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was Jesus. And Jesus was the revelation of the divine nature and the fullness of God. But men preferred the darkness that they had cloaked themselves with and hidden themselves in. And Jesus came to his own, born of a woman, born into humanity. He came to his own, that we would see, that we would finally know what it was to be loved, to be received, to be welcomed home. And Jesus was the invitation, the exact image of God. As one of the writers of the biblical text says, he was the exact image of God. The Spirit of God in human flesh, that we would know what he was like. Ultimately, he was the total revelation. He was the total invitation, and he would be the ultimate restoration. But mankind put their fingers in their ears. They refused to listen and in turn tried to shout the word out and silence the voice. And though we heard, we have pretended not to hear. And we closed our eyes, and in closing our eyes, like little children playing some kind of game, we covered our faces and assuming if we shut our eyes, he would disappear. But every time we open our eyes, he is still the revelation. And we have pretended we don't see. But the writer of the scriptures also says this: the truth of God has been made obvious to humanity. For ever since the world was created, ever since God put his hand to clay, ever since God shaped humanity and the hills and the seas and the space, ever since he put his hand to it, people have seen the earth, the sky, and everything he has made. And through everything that God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature. And though we have created myths, we have no excuse for not knowing God. And the writer continues that, yes, although they knew God, they would not worship him as God nor allow him the authority of God. And we refuse to give him thanks. And we in our earthly wisdom, in our human thinking, in our elevated opinion of ourselves, we began to think up foolish ideas about what God was actually like. And as a result, the mind of man became dark and it became confused. And claiming to be wise, we instead became utter fools. And into that human condition, God again pursued us, and we were still offered light. And we were still offered life. One of the writers of the Bible, one of Jesus' closest friends, a man named James, he wrote with that revelation of who Jesus was. He said this, if we look into the Word, if we look into the person of Jesus, the ultimate revelation of God, the Word that was with God in the beginning, the full declaration of who he was, if we look into that Word, and we don't adjust ourselves accordingly, we are as foolish as those who look into a mirror and refuse the truth about what they look like. You see, in John 3:16, we're given these words that God so loved the world. Or this is how much God loved the world, another version says, that he gave his Son. He gave the fullness of himself. He gave his Son as an ambassador, as a restorer. That by believing in him, by receiving him, no one would have to perish, but everyone could come to the fullness of life. Everyone. And it says that God did not do that to just point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was or how far they had gone. He didn't come to condemn. He came to restore. He came to put it right again. You see, to just reveal the issue with no remedy would be the accusing finger. To just come as a mirror would and reflect to us our ugliness, our brokenness, the filth of our lives, would do nothing but point at us and remind us of just how far we had fallen. And it's the shame that we hide in, it's the fear that we run in. But he didn't just send his Son as the Word that we would look into and know our shortcomings. He offered the instrument of the restoration of that image. He said, see your faults and see your failings and see your shortcomings and know all those things. But know that I don't accuse you. I offer to restore my image in you. For from the very beginning, man was created in the likeness of God. His image was imparted to us that in each of us, there is something of the revelation of who he is. But the filth of this world, the things we've perpetrated upon ourselves, the things that we walk in, the things that we've adopted, the values that somehow we have ascended and lifted up and accepted, have marred that image. You know, we can actually deny the truth. We can look into this. We can look at this image and look at myself and somehow refuse it. We look at this image and we say, no, that's a distorted image. I'm not like that. I don't have that garbage in my life, and it doesn't have control of me, and it doesn't own me, and those things don't separate me, and I begin to accuse the Word, and I begin to accuse the reflection, and I tell the mirror that it is wrong. But it doesn't change the reality Or then I could just, I can just pretend that it doesn't exist. That's not there. That's not a reality. That revelation is somehow a figment of my imagination. It's something that's just been created to make me feel bad. So even though it sits there, I ignore it. I go about my day. I go about my duties. If it was in my home, I know it's there. But every morning I get up and I never bother to assess myself. I never look at myself. I never wash myself. I never clean myself. And the muck just builds up until I'm so ashamed I don't even want to face other people. But it doesn't change the reality that every time I look into that reflection, I see somehow who I was meant to be. But I know it's marred. Or I can come to it and I not just pretend it's not there. I just cover it up. Ha! Now you have no authority over me. Now you can't tell me anything about myself. I don't have to look into you. I just simply go beyond pretending that the image is wrong and somehow pretending that it's not there. To in that conviction, I just lay other things over it. I want it so badly to go away. And this is what we as humans do with this message of the Word, the revelation of God. More and more in our day, the rejection of Jesus gets louder and louder. And the denial of ourselves and our fallenness and the marred image gets louder and louder. And our declaration that we're all right just the way we are. Don't try and change anything about me. Just learn to accept this marred image. But you see, even every time I walk by that, I know what's behind the cover. I know what's behind the drape. And I know it still tells me the truth about myself. And ultimately, this reminder, it needs to be responded to, or it needs to be removed. It either needs to be accepted, or somehow it needs to be adjusted. Somehow, it either has to be received or it has to be utterly rejected. And this image of Jesus, this image of God revealed in Christ, we are either faced with a decision that we want it, or this reflective work has to be destroyed. And that's what humanity did. When we couldn't stand it any longer. When the voice got too loud. When the conviction got too much. They took the image of God and they nailed it to a tree. believing that if they killed him, then somehow the conviction would just go away. But as we look upon the brokenness, there is still a weight. There is still something that stirs within us. And we're still invited. God, even in our destructive rejection of His Son, He said, now, come and engage the remedy for the Lamb of God who would become the sacrifice for all humanity. He's been put to death. And His body and His blood shed for you becomes the hope of all humanity, for we could do nothing in our own power but to receive His offering. To look upon the Lamb who was slain for the salvation of the world and wash ourselves. And every time we are faced with this, we're offered this, come to me, all of you who are weary, who are heavy laden, who are tired of running and hiding in the shame, and come to me. Let me restore you. And this morning, I don't know what you're running from and hiding from and what shame you carry, what things you bear, but Jesus says, come. I've not rejected you. I welcome you. I don't point an accusing finger telling you how wrong you are. I've come to put it right again. He said, if you will believe in me, you do not have to be destroyed, but you can have full and eternal life. And the communion tables are a reminder, for on the night that Jesus was betrayed, before he even went to the cross, he said to his friends, this meal, this bread, this wine, share it with one another in remembrance of me, for this bread represents my body, which is broken. And knowing that he was going to the cross, he said to them, as you take this cup, take it in remembrance of me, for this is my blood of a new covenant, a covenant of forgiveness, that though you will do this to me, I will never reject you. And though you have shunned my love will flow to you. And he says, come and wash yourself in a cleansing flow. And as we come this morning in this moment of remembrance, I invite you. On these tables are three elements this morning. There is bread that we invite you to break and take in remembrance of the gift of Christ. There is a cup that contains juice that's a reminder of the cup of wine on the night of Jesus' betrayal. But there's also a small mirror. And I invite you to take them. I invite you to take a mirror piece. And they're on all of the tables around this room this morning. And I ask you to take it and reflect. What have you done in response to the revealed image of Jesus? What will you do? Will you take that and, or will you not even take one? Will you not even approach the table? Somehow you may feel that you're not good enough or something restricts you from it. It is an invitation to engage Jesus. You may come, you may take the bread and the wine, but refuse to really look at yourself. You may come and take a piece of tile and mirror. Go home and hide it away. But I hope you might take it. Stick it somewhere where you see it. And make that assessment and allow God to make an invitational assessment of you to adjust ourselves in His likeness and allow Him to restore this image. If you've never seen it like this or received that restored invitation to friendship with God, friendship with God, do it today. Do it in a simple way of saying, God, if I've sinned against you in any way, would you forgive me? And I guarantee you, whatever the weight of sin and shortcoming, He will forgive you. And declare in His Son's sacrifice that you are now a child of God. His Son, His daughter restored to hope and to life. And so as you come, as you come and take bread, and as you come and take of that cup, and as you come and take one of those mirror tiles, allow the washing work of Jesus to be done in you and for you. And I invite you to come as you wish. It is solemn. It's one day where we stop and we just realize the weight of the reality of the Son of God, the gift of God, the revelation of God, the restoration of God, rejected by man, accused when he had done no wrong, put to death. But it was the invitation to remedy for, as we will yet celebrate, death would not keep him captive. When we are liberated to life, that life can never be taken from us. But in a solemn sense that I believe so many of Jesus' friends had, and in that sense of loss, we're going to close with these words from Matthew chapter 27. And Jesus, having been crucified and nailed to the hewn timber of the cross, knowing that the end was near, he cried out, "It is finished." And he breathed his last. And as evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and he asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. And Joseph, along with some of the women from the cross, took that body and they wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. And Joseph took the body of Jesus and he placed it in his own tomb, which had been carved out of rock. And then he rolled a great stone across the entrance. And they left that place.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. Drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.